and welcome back to Bingeworthy, a podcast about all things television, streaming, what we watch, and how we watch it. Hosted by myself, Mike D'Angelo, and editor-in-chief of The Playlist, Rodrigo Perez. Bingeworthy helps you, the listener, keep track of it all, know what's what, and which of these many dozens of shows being released each week and month are worth tuning into. All right, today Rodrigo and I are discussing Candy, a true crime miniseries that stars Jessica Biel as Candy Montgomery, a middle-class Texas housewife who murders her friend and neighbor, Betty Gore. The question at the center of the story isn't necessarily did she do it, but why did she do it? The show also stars Pablo Schreiber and Timothy Simons. After Rodrigo and I discussed the show, Jessica Biel and Melanie Lynskey stopped by to discuss what drew them to the series, the very identifiable issues at the heart of the story. It's pretty crazy. Rodrigo, I know you haven't necessarily got to sit down and go through any of it. Have you seen the first episode or anything yet?
I haven't got a chance to see any of it yet, but I got to say, just watching the trailers very closely, I'm super intrigued. I love the idea of Jessica Biel and Melanie Lynskey. Their look at these as these sort of like really normal, homely looking housewives is really intriguing. It just really sounds like up my alley. Like, we've recently talked about shows like The Staircase on this podcast, and it feels like, because it is based on a true crime kind of thing, right? Similar kind of true crime story.
Yet another, yeah. It's like these things drop in threes or whatever it is. We did tech series, and now we're doing murder crime series.
I have not seen it, but I'm very much looking forward to it, and it looks very much up my alley.
It's really good. Even amidst like the true crime miniseries wave that we're seeing, this one finds a way to be really unique by kind of placing really identifiable and relatable issues within like marriages and families that a lot of people might find themselves drawn to. And it's kind of like come for the murder, stay for the emotional weight and interesting performances kind of thing. Like, because Jessica and Melanie and the guys who play their husbands, Pablo Schreiber and Timothy Simons, they're just great in everything. And this is no exception here. And the show has like this super cool tone. It's thrilling, it's sad, and then it's kind of hilarious at times. And it doesn't, you know, overstay its welcome because it's like this tight 5 episodes. And, you know, they're even going to like roll it out 5 days in a row. So you can do May 9th, I think it is, that it drops first episode, and then nightly you'll have a new episode to watch. So you can kind of make a week out of Candy. So that's kind of cool.
I love a tight 5, man. That's the magic number for the miniseries for me, except for Marvel, which needs more, but that's a whole other story.
We'll get into more Moon Knight in the future, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, it's really interesting. The only thing is, like, even with that, I feel like, you know, they did kind of skip a little bit of the story. Like, it went 4 to 5. You feel like they could have maybe fit a 6th in there, kind of explaining a little more, fleshing it out a little more. But even so, it's a tight little story, and it's a really interesting, like, it's not going to give you the answers necessarily. So you're going to have to wrestle with it yourself, which I prefer, rather than it's just like, and it was this person the whole time, that kind of thing. This isn't really that kind of show. It's really about the emotions and stuff that a lot of people, like, everybody has marital issues. Everybody has, you know, stress because of kids. And that's kind of at the heart of it. Like, these little issues that kind of unravel and snowball and ultimately result in this murder.
Who are the creators? Are Nick Antosca and Robin Vith? I don't really know. I think Robin Vith is a Mad Men alum, and Nick is a The Act alum, mm-hmm. which I never saw. Yeah, they do some interesting work too.
I know Robin from like the Expanse kind of stuff, because I was a big Expanse fan, but I did not necessarily associate them with murder or like this kind of stuff. So it's interesting.
People are going to do all kinds of stuff, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Certainly a definite pivot for a lot of people. It is kind of interesting to, like, we speak with Jessica and Melanie, obviously, and like half the time they talk about how much, like, it's a super serious subject matter, but they're like in period clothes with these ridiculous wigs, and they're just having the time of their lives. They're like playing volleyball, trying to look sexy and not being able to do it at all, but somehow the editing pulls it together.
That's interesting. It's really interesting to see Jessica Biel find this lane for herself, you know, like,
yeah, since The Sinner.
Yeah, which is another, you know, like, adult drama miniseries show. Like, she's found this kind of new lane for her, and I think it really works, you know. Like, you know, I think at a certain point, certain roles, I mean, you know, there's always this, I mean, maybe even bad, whatever, cliched stuff about women and certain roles that aren't available to you at a certain age. You know, obviously she could play, you know, whatever the sexy whatever thing, but it seems like she doesn't want to. It seems like she's just choosing to do more interesting stuff and better for her, you know. Like, I always thought she had the potential even way back in the day, and it seems like she's just taking really good interesting roles that are like, it just seems like good for her, man. Like, this is good stuff.
The Sinner was her kind of,
yeah,
you know, placing her hand on the wheel as a producer and like saying, okay, I'm gonna have a bit of control over this. And since then, like, even this one, she produces this as well. So I think if she has a hand on the wheel, she's able to kind of service the story a little better and make sure that her character makes a little more sense than if she was just like, you know, this sex symbol in Blade Trinity or whatever it was that she was being offered before and going after before. But this one, like, it's obvious the priority is not on her being like this sexy housewife that's doing these things. It's very much like she's trying to be this normal person. And I think it works. I think her performance is really great. And Melanie Lynskey always knocks things out of the park. Talk about, you know, Yellow Jackets or whatever it is. It's no different here. Like, you really feel for Betty Gore, her character, who's at the center of the story right along with Candy. So it's a really great like 1-2 punch, but also like, Timothy and Pablo are super hilarious at the same time as well.
Pablo's great. Yeah.
They play great schlubs. Let's just say that. And I will say, I can't say necessarily who it is, but there are some great cameos later on in the series that, you know, they're entertaining cameos. They add a little bit of multiple levels and they're worth sticking around for. That's all I'll say.
Tell me a little bit more about your interview with them. What should we look out for?
A lot of it was, you know, just talking about the emotions at the heart of it and what got them involved. You know, a lot of the stuff that we've talked about where it's just these really relatable issues with marriages and families that, you know, they're going to make a lot of people go, man, one wrong turn could really make this all spiral. And then beyond that, you know, I mean, I tried to get some Yellow Jacket stuff, obviously, but she said it's looking like it's probably later in the year for that, for them to even start shooting because they're trying to really make the season 2 worth it. So that's really all I can tease about that. But of course, we go deeper into the show and their involvement and their characters and all the period costumes of it all. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I can't wait to both dig into the show and then dig into the interviews.
Cool. Once again, Candy premieres on Hulu on May 9th and rolls out a new episode each day that week. Let's throw it over to my conversation with Jessica Biel and Melanie Lynskey. I am doing very well, Jessica, Melanie. Thank you for giving me your time today. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Awesome. So I really enjoyed Candy. So this is a treat for me to talk to you both. Dad puns for the win. Just want to start with the true story of it all, because I wasn't really familiar with it at all.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I was totally like drawn in, surprised. What did you know going in about the true story, and what made you ultimately say yes to doing a project like this?
I knew nothing. I don't know about you, Mel. I had never heard of this story before. Maybe I got a log line, you know, someone said, oh, about this person, this crazy thing and got off. And then I just read the scripts. And then after reading the first couple of scripts, started to deep dive into all things Candy and Betty and, you know, what I could find.
I knew about it a little bit because I sort of had a knowledge of the other project. And so I had read the Texas Monthly article. Is that what it was? A great long article about the case. And I knew the story. But the thing I really loved about the scripts for Candy is how they told the story. I think it's difficult to do the kind of like jumping back and forth in the narrative thing in a way that feels really interesting. And I was like, oh, wow, they really did it. I think Robin is so smart.
Yeah. And they approach it in a really different way. I think a lot of people are going to come into this expecting this juicy murder story, which there is there. But a lot of people are going to be surprised by how much this paints a picture of like common issues that people have, like marital issues, family problems that everybody has to some degree. Mm-hmm. And shows, you know, where even the most normal of us could be pushed to some extremes. Did you guys find yourselves, like me, identifying more and more as these scripts went on with just these characters and the situations that they were in?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I feel like every person, every parent talking about parents has felt overwhelmed, alone, like they can't communicate with their partner, that they want something more, want a spark again. You know, everyone at some point has felt something in that world. And it was amazing as we were moving on episode by episode, you know, you really just start to see the puzzle of these lives come together. And it's just so complex. It's just not, oh, well, this thing happened. And it's like, there's just so many pieces that made up these women's lives and their family dynamics and their unit, and then how their paths just tragically crossed. The more and more that I portrayed this character, I felt sad for her. You know, even when she's doing this crazy, horrible thing, I still had empathy for her somehow.
And that was the thing I really loved about the scripts initially, also when I read them, because I was born in 1977. My mother was 21, I think, when she had me. And there's just a sense at that time that, okay, you've got the family, you've got the husband, congratulations. Like, that's it. Now the rest of your life happens. And I had a sense from her, like she would listen to that Mary and Faithful song all the time, the Ballad of Lucy Jordan. Do you know that song about a woman like wanting to go to Paris and be in a sports car with a lover? And it broke my heart because like there was a sense of this like unlived life. And, you know, by the time my mother was my age, she had 5 children and one of them was 22. And I have a 3-year-old. Like I've lived a life doing whatever I wanted, being completely autonomous for a very long time. And I loved how the scripts showed the like minutiae of these lives and how much men are dependent on the women. And just, you know, I love the moments where the men are like, okay, I'm going to get a jog and just leaving piles of dishes to the person who's already cooked the whole meal. And I just was like, I felt like it was a really beautiful sort of rendering of what those lives were like.
Yeah, while I was prepping for this, I was kind of looking through the IMDb of it, and I was thinking about all, you know, just the kids of it all, the stress that kids can bring to the thing. And I noticed that Jessica, the kid who plays your toddler, is named Dash. My toddler is named Dash as well. So I'm just like, what is going on here? There's some weird, weird stuff. But I did speak with Pablo Schreiber recently, and he was promoting something else, but he genuinely lit up when I would mention Candy. And this was before we really knew much about it. So he got to talk about the experience of making it. And it sounds like he had a lot of fun with the both of you and just, you know, the period clothing and everything. I'm curious what the experience is making something like this. This subject matter is super serious, but the costumes and the, you know, the period of it all kind of makes it look like it might be a fun experience. How was it for you?
Did you see my costumes though? Because Jessica's maybe, I think. Mine were so depressing. Our costume designer, Robert Blackman, is like a true genius, but every fitting, I just was like, ooh, okay. All right. It's not glamorous. Got it.
Oh my God. I don't know how you felt about it, Mel, but I felt like we were making a comedy most days, because which sounds kind of crazy, but maybe it's just because Tim and Pablo and you are so funny.
We're funny.
Okay. Thank you. But it was just fun. Like you guys were fun to be around every day. And I think the tone of this thing is such that it's really, really funny and kind of odd and wickedly funny until it's not. Yeah. And then when it's not, it is everything sort like the whole axis sort of tilts and you go, oh my God, I'm not laughing anymore. But I mean, the period does lend itself, the crazy shorts, the silly volleyball game, like all 40-year-old people trying to be great at volleyball who are not athletes. Like it was hilarious.
But all you guys looked so sexy at volleyball. I was not present for the filming of those scenes. And when I watched it, I was like, woo.
Oh my God, that was some good editing, Mel, because it was like a bunch of middle-aged people trying their absolute best to get the ball over the net. I don't know. I enjoyed myself. I had such a good time. I really did. Even amidst the terrible, deep, dark subject matter, I just had such a fun experience. It was an enjoyable shoot for me.
I mean, I know when you're doing a project like this, you have to kind of dig into the real events of it all. Have you had discussions on if you believe like Candy's version of events, or do you not necessarily think that's part of the process when it comes to playing a part like this?
I mean, it's kind of impossible not to talk about that, you know? Yeah. we will never have the answer, you know, so it's a bit of a fruitless conversation, but it's still endlessly fascinating. I mean, I feel like Robin and I would go back and forth every day. How do you feel today? Oh, I believe her today. Okay, next day. How do you feel? I definitely don't believe her. And this is why. And like, we would just go back and forth all the time to the point of how she structured this whole show. That's really what we want you as the audience to do, is to, at the end of this thing, just, I mean, like, if there could be a debate amongst a viewing party about where everyone stands at the end, that would be like a huge success and a huge win for us.
Yeah. I love that you don't know. I love that it goes back and forth. I think for me, I was so protective of Betty that I stuck to my one position pretty much.
That's fair.
Like, my job was to be her voice. She doesn't have a voice, which I think is the beautiful thing about how the story is told. But yeah, there were definitely moments where Jess and I would talk about the logistics of, right. We had to do a whole stunt that was the fight as Candy told it. And
it's intense.
Yeah. Yes. Some parts of it was difficult to get from A to B, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're both working with a lot of really great material these days. Do you think TV has afforded you like these just different roles than what you've been offered in movies in the past? I feel like the adult drama in general has kind of shifted to TV and it's more sophisticated parts and roles. And I'm wondering what you two think about that.
For me, I feel like I've had a lot of roles in movies that I've loved and felt very fulfilled and creatively satisfied by, but nobody's seen them. So it was a wonderful experience and things that I'm very proud of. And then it's like, you know, every so often someone will come up and be like, I loved Hello, I Must Be Going. I'm like, you're one of the 10 people who saw it. Thanks. But yeah, it's really amazing to tell these stories that have so much depth and where we get so much to do as middle-aged women. And people are watching and responding and into it. Like, it's a very nice experience.
Yeah, definitely. I feel the same way. All of my most proud moments in film, literally no one's ever seen. and it's tough, right? Because you put your heart and soul into these things. And it's not necessarily like you want all this, an accolade or something, but we're storytellers inherently. And we want to entertain people. And you know, we want people to see the work because we care about it a lot. You know, there's no way you take a part that you're like, whatever. I really not at least it, for me anymore. Like I have to be so passionate to leave my family and stay gone so many long hours and all these things. So yes, television has changed the game. So many amazing parts for women and all ages of people. But I really kind of feel like, I don't know, like we're able to have like these like new renaissance moments in our careers where we're doing the most interesting work. I mean, I'm doing the most interesting work I have ever done by a long shot. I never had an opportunity to do stuff like this before. Always wanted to. And I mean, TV has been amazing for that. And I'm grateful for sure that it's moved into this new kind of just this new desire for different kind of storytelling.
You guys have had some really great projects. One of the things, I mean, I love The Sinner. I love Yellow Jackets. I actually spoke with Ashley Lyle and Bart Nickerson recently about first season. I'm wondering if you can update people who are eagerly awaiting and going all over the internet for answers on season 2. Do you know when that starts up again or anything you can tease?
Yeah, I'll just tell you the basic major plot points.
yes.
So Antler Queen. No. I don't know anything, including when we start again. I'm trying to find out because I need to rent a house in Vancouver for 6 months. I don't know. I wish I knew something. I'm hearing it's going to be slightly later in the year, maybe, which I think is great because I want the writers to have as much time as possible. Because how nerve-wracking to have your first season received so positively and then you have to write another one. Oh my God. I feel for them.
Yeah, there's a lot of places it could go and I'm really eager, but either way, Candy is fantastic. And I really appreciate the time that you two gave me today. For our listeners, I just want to say that it premieres the first episodes on May 9th on Hulu, and a new episode dropping every day that week. So it'll be a week of candy. And I can't wait for everybody to experience it, especially certain episodes 4 and 5. There were some really great surprises. That's all I'll say. I know we're not supposed to mention it, but that really made me smile.
Awesome.
All right. Jessica, Melanie, congrats on the show. It's amazing. Thanks.
Thank you
so much.